I guess I could call this a brief history of the Boardman family. And I'm going to try to be brief, because if I told the whole story, I'd be here for hours. And I know you don't want to be here for hours. I'm going to share some bad things with you. I'm going to leave it to Louise to finish with the good news that God has given us, not because we deserve it, but because of his grace and mercy. I also would like to share a couple Bible verses with you. Like Abby's Bible verse, one of my favorites is Jeremiah 29:11. And most of us know the first sentence, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." But the rest of that verse is really important to me. "Then when you call on me and come to pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Second verse that's important to me is Psalm 41:3. It speaks to my life and probably a lot of others of you as well. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth." Louise and I have known each other since high school. We talked about getting married after she graduated from college. I was still in school. For some reason, our parents actually thought that was a good idea. So we got married when we were not quite 21, and we really had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. Our usual response when people ask us how long we've been married is 12 wonderful years, however many years it had been altogether. So this year is going to be 44 years, and hopefully we'll get up to 13 wonderful years, maybe. 8 years after we got married, we started planning what we were going to do with the family, and we decided we would start our family then, but our hopes for starting a family turned to sadness when Louise suffered her first miscarriage, followed closely by two more. Well, all those babies are named, and we're really looking forward to being reunited with them at some point, although it's going to be very confusing because they're all going to be Catherine Porters or William Austins or combinations thereof. So we'll have a hard time when we're trying to speak to each other, I think. So this leads to the adoption of our first son, William. We were approached by an attorney friend of ours who is in a Sunday school class with us at church to see if we'd be interested in a private adoption. We thought and prayed about it because it was something we'd never really considered. And God's response was yes. So we were told that it was going to cost $3,400. Well, lo and behold, we had $3,500 in our savings account. So our answer was yes. And God provided. Now we were parents. And God decided he was really going to make us parents multiple times quickly. God opened up Louise's womb, and 13 months after we adopted William, Peter was born. And then 24 months later, Jeffrey was born. So all of a sudden, we had three boys under age three. I think some of you can relate to that. And then when you factor in my job, which took me away from home for anywhere from 12 to 15 days a month, you can imagine the chaos that Louise had to deal with at home. I know you military spouses can understand that. But we were blessed that we had Louise's sister, Patsy, and her family living in the same town. And a few years later, her mother and father moved close by in Dallas. So God does bless us. Starting in second grade, Will became increasingly difficult to handle. He has severe social anxiety and depression, which, together with some learning disabilities, made life really hard for him. He started shutting down and acting out. We had him tested and started counseling, but things just got worse. At one point, we put him in a private Christian school. He was asked to leave because of his behavior. We homeschooled the boys for 2 years and then re-enrolled them in public school when we moved here to Montreat in 1997. Will was only happy then when he was playing sports or in math class or doing drafting. He's kind of a math savant. He excelled in soccer and baseball, especially baseball, and Chipper Jones was and still is his hero. But the drugs started soon after our move here. By his senior year, he was a regular drug user. He was, and we were, miserable and constantly fighting with each other. Nothing seemed to get through to him about what he was doing to his life, including the overdose death of his very best friend, Zach Davis. A lot of you probably remember that. In 2002, Will accepted $200 from a couple of neighbors to drive them to a meeting. It turned out to be a drug deal that went bad. One of the men was shot to death outside the car that Will was driving, one shot inside the car and severely wounded. William escaped harm. He ran off, and then after the scene had calmed down, he came back. And he came back only because it was Peter's car that he was driving, his brother's car. Because of his and his girlfriend's cooperation with the police and the DA and the information they provided to him, the DA elected not to follow up on felony murder charges that they were going to charge him with. So William was saved by God's mercy. God does have mercy. He's continued to be an abuser of drugs and alcohol until 2 years ago when he decided he really did want to get clean and sober. He'd reached rock bottom. And that's really his story to tell, but those stories are worth listening to. So I hope someday he'll share them as well. Will. Our second son, Peter, was very appropriately named. Peter has been a rock all his life. Although he was seriously squeezed by the other two boys, he's always had a happy outlook, a strong sense of adventure. When he was born, there was a half knot in his umbilical cord. So he was busy in the womb doing exciting things, kind of a precursor of the rest of his life. His is a life of discipline and hard work. He was loving, compliant, responsible, obedient, outgoing, kind, disciplined. He was the perfect child, the one that gave us relief from the other two. Most of you know that he's married to Anna Louise Barker Boardman, another child of this church, with whom he fell in love with when she was 15 and he was 18. And they had this on-again, off-again romance for a while. Before they got serious and married, every time he would break up with a girl, we would say, what was wrong with her? And his response would always be, she wasn't Anna. So he's something of a mama's boy, but that's okay. If you know Louise, you know that that's an okay thing. Our third son, Jeffrey, I would describe as precocious, outgoing, friendly, intelligent, inventive, really adventurous, and very charming, but not always obedient or kind. More of a daddy's boy. Jeffrey liked being on the edge of the envelope or just outside of it, and still does. God gave him gifts that most of us don't have or understand. He's a special ops, combat special ops operator, and a very talented special ops combat medic. He's still inventive. In fact, he started a medical device company targeting field medicine. So more to come about that. His childhood was a delight to us. He was just the sweetest thing you could ever imagine. And one of our favorite memories of him was one day after coming home from church, Sunday school, he took all his blocks out and built the temple, and then gave us a tour of it, including the Holy of Holies. So he was learning something. but he hasn't always been real pleasant. As a teenager, he had anxiety issues and was contrary and mean most of the time. He was disrespectful and constantly at odds with Louise. He became like a prodigal son, mutually banished from our house in his early 20s. Then the fourth child, that would be me. During all of this angst with our teenage children, I was growing more and more distant. Tired of the constant undercurrent of anger, blame, tension, and hurt, I was really ready to give up on my wife and my family. But there were two things that brought me up short and brought me back. The first was, how do you tell your children that you're willing to abandon them and leave their mother? And the second, and most important, was during all that turmoil and the anguish of dealing with her children and me, Louise met with Richard and asked if he would meet with me because she feared for my salvation. That's in quotes. Those were her words. Where do you find that love outside of Christ? She feared for my salvation. So I kept that appointment. I went to Richard's house. Brad Long was there. It's kind of like going to the principal's office and finding out the superintendent of schools and the whole school board were there. But I will tell you, without hesitation, that meeting saved my life, saved my marriage, saved my family. I came home with a changed heart and a renewed spirit. I had been a captive of the dark things in my life. I was brought back from captivity during those few hours. I was seeking the Lord now with all my heart. So what I would say is that, God, thank you for your provision, your blessings, the redemptive power that you have over us, that your grace and mercy has redeemed us. So if you're a captive of something, I'm going to encourage you to surrender to God to free yourself from captivity.
Not an easy story to tell, and it's certainly not an easy story to listen to. When I was in first grade, I sang a solo in church, "I Surrender All," like I really knew what that meant. It wasn't until my mid to late 40s that I understood what "I Surrender All" is and what that concept means in my life. So Russell and I have 10 minutes to share 7 years of hell, so bear with us. First, I'll state first that without God, our family would be in an entirely different place right now. This is really a but God story. During the years that Russell outlined, I first tried to handle the mess all by myself, and I got absolutely nowhere. Things could not have been more bleak or hopeless. I was very lonely, humiliated, angry, sad, anxious, hurt, disappointed, and frustrated. Things were falling apart at a rapid pace, and my interventions were not working to change hearts and minds. So that you really understand how awful it was at that time, Peter, our rock, went to his guidance counselor and he said, "My brothers are killing my mom," which was probably true. And I was devastated, just like, awful, awful. He broke down in tears. So it was heartbreaking. And I was powerless as the mother to stop the drugs and alcohol use and abuse, to stop the belligerence, and Jeffrey was really, really good at his job of being a complete and total reprobate, and a wayward spouse. My ways did not work at all. So only when I did what Scripture tells us to do did things begin to change for our family. The prayer of a righteous man is not only powerful, but it's effective, Paul says at the end of James. Throughout Scripture, we're told to share our burdens, to allow righteous people to pray for us. So why do we try to handle our troubles all by ourselves? Although I was praying and I was seeking answers and comfort from the Bible, I did not surrender all to God. I really thought that I could fix it all by myself. I was desperate. I threw myself at God's feet. And I said, whatever, I will do whatever. I want you to handle this now because I am done. I'm done. I asked for prayer cover from Fran Aceto and Jesse Barker. Fran got me through the marriage part, and Jesse got me through the Jeffrey part. And to tell you the truth, by that time, I had let William go. I wasn't even praying for William anymore. It was that this was his life and his journey, and I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I was too busy handling the flood in my own house. And so finally, and then in desperation, when I was no longer willing to live with my unspoken primal fear of abandonment by my husband, did I ask Richard White for prayer and guidance. I said, I will do whatever the church says to do. I'm done. But that's when our healing began. So as Russell said, one intensive prayer session with Richard and Brad Long, and I had my husband back. It was incredible. That very minute, I mean, he came home a lighter spirit, different person. Once again, another time we have made prayer and the support of others was when William finally decided, the month my daddy died, to come clean, become clean and sober. So we formed Team William. And I cannot tell you what a comfort and what a difference they've made in his life. He's now clean and sober, has a full-time job, he goes to 6 NA meetings a week, and he's going to church. Amen to that. Now, our belligerent son, Jeffrey, has completely turned himself around and has become a successful human being, all because... which was not possible 10 years ago, I can tell you. All because we allowed God to reign, to guide our steps as we dealt with him. His story, Jeffrey's story is just that, it's his story. And someday he assures me he's going to share it because for years we've been saying, Jeffrey, you've been building a very big testimony. So he calls it his testimony book. You're going to have to bring dinner because... 10 years ago, I was ready to throw him under the bus. I gave him over to his evil and sinful ways, sent him out to Missoula, to Montana with Peter. Peter said he got there, and within 3 minutes, he said, you do that again, Jeffrey, and you're out of here. Jeffrey did it again, so he said, I suggest you go to Missoula or Bozeman, both college towns, but you're not staying here. So he chose Missoula, and believe it or not, that's where he met and fell in love with our wonderful daughter-in-law, Elizabeth. They met, courted, and 3 months later eloped. So, I am proud to be his mother now. I just honestly would not have said that 10 years ago. There's no way in hell I'm going to ever say I even like you, Jeffrey. But I love him. I'm proud to be his mother. And that's it. What we intended, Russell was really never part of any of this, to tell you the truth. He was gone most of this time. It's like, yeah. Anyway, what I intended for punishment, sending him to Montana and saying, I never want to see you again, God used for good. He turned the whole thing around. I mean, we have Elizabeth, who is just as crazy as Jeffrey, and we adore her. So I got two loonies. Out of one. All right, so today I urge you to attack the problem you face head on. Use all the resources that God provides, like God-fearing friends, pastors, counselors, and even banishment to a foreign country. You will explode if you keep it all to yourself. You need to be bold. You need to share your struggles. And since God doesn't waste anything, he could pair you up with me someday, or somebody like me, who's been through all of it and has come out on the other end. I have walked through your storm and many more, and I could help you. People like me could help. Because as I see it, the Christian community is way too private to everyone's detriment. I know that I don't have the only druggie in the room. I know I don't have the only wayward husband in the room. I know I don't have the only Jeffrey that's ever been born in the room. So where the heck are you guys, you know? Understand that you're not the only one facing these trials. And remember that God's all over your family, that nothing happens to you that hasn't first gone through the heart, hands, and mind of God Himself. Amen. Thank you, Portia. Okay, you want to finish? Okay. I have more. I have a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. But you can have a minute in a minute. Okay. Nothing surprises God. Nothing discourages God. Nothing you do can ever separate you from the love of God. But He needs you to implement His plan. Do your job. Find other people to help you. One final thought, we sang hymns to our children when they were little, and one of them was, "O love that will not let me go." And the second verse is, "O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to you. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and know your promise is not vain, that morn will tearless be." So if you want a tearless morn, remember the "I surrender all" hymn that I mentioned at the first. Surrender your pride, surrender your shame, your guilt, your hurts, your disappointments, your angst, your worries, your jealousies, your failures, and your inadequacies, and your sorrows. He's big enough for all of it. Trust Him by working the system, sharing your burdens with people who really know Him and know how to talk to Him, whose lives are in line with Him. And then as the hymn concludes, let His blessings fall on you as they did on us. I don't think they want to stop anymore.
I just want to share one more Bible verse with you that is probably not well known to a lot of you, but it comes from Joel chapter 2, verse 25. "I will repay you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten." Amen.